Come with me now. Come with me. We kick off hour number two, Wednesday edition of Three and Out. Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, Davey Hudson, Billy Williford. Foster says they've been playing Little League ball in Southern Indiana for a month now. Sounds nice.
That one tournament the Vols former basketball players were supposed to be in. That one ended yesterday, Or is that a different tournament?
No, I'm pretty sure that the championship game was last night.
I thought that whole tournament had been canceled, and that's why Tennessee wasn't playing. But Tennessee just, like, wussed out and didn't play?
Yeah, they said that logistically, due to travel and where everybody was, they weren't going to be able to get down there.
What? Good grief.
It was a championship team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, these guys are scrubs.
Except for the mentality, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know Tennessee guys were soft.
Yeah.
Bruce Pearl guys. Yep. Hate to see it.
Yep. You do. Let's go to the phone lines. We got Matt on the horn, 865-546-8200, if you want to weigh in. Matt, what's up, buddy?
Who's there?
How do people still use logistics as an excuse? I mean, you get in a car and drive. Like, how's that, like, how can that be a reason why you can't make it somewhere to play?
Make sure you wear your mask in the car by yourself.
Just blame it on somebody else. It's exactly what the Big Ten did. Ah, logistics.
Snow day.
Sorry.
It's snow day syndrome, Matt. Everyone wants a snow day. They just cancel everything.
I know, man. Cancel culture. Jesus Christ. Just come out and say, like, you're scared to play. That's at least the truth. You know, be a little bit more admirable. You know, you guys were talking about the Braves a second ago. How in the world, seriously, do you win one World Series with Glavine, Smoltz, and Maddux? And I was a big – I'm kind of fell off the baseball train over the last 10 years, but I used to love watching back in the 90s when I was a little bit younger, coming out of high school and college and all that.
Yeah, when the Braves were awesome.
Yeah, I know. Bandwagon, I'll hop on, hop off.
I don't know. They were kind of like Georgia football.
They did get the one, though.
Yeah.
They got the one, but, I mean, they were there every damn – I feel like if I was – if that Braves run happened now, I would just make fun of them the whole time. That might be one reason I'm not a Braves fan anymore, actually, Matt, because I was the same way. I lived and died with those games.
Because they'd win the pennant. They'd win the pennant, and then choke it.
I swear Glavine and Maddux especially, if they got through the first inning in a playoff game, they were going to go 8 shutout. It was lights out. But they would start playoff games sometimes and give up 2 runs before they settled in, and sometimes
then they
lose.
Score.
Yeah.
And which was crazy because they had the bats, too, like Gant and Maddox, or Gant and Dave Justice and
McGriff,
you know,
Pendleton.
Yeah, they had, like, the team was like stacked, but they would not. It's like when the big game was there, they would either start off low, couldn't score in the hole, or, you know, like you're saying, Maddox then would start off and, you know, pitch a shutout if they started off hot, but which didn't happen in the championship games, obviously.
Baseball.
God, man. Bream to the plate play, like, that carried me for a decade, and then I couldn't do it anymore.
Hey, if you catch – you talking a minute ago about helmets returning back. If you catch a football in a college game, do you have to give that back? I've never caught one.
Yes.
Yeah.
You give it back.
So why is that?
Well, Tennessee doesn't even use a net. I mean, they kick every extra point into the stands.
We're one of few that still will not put a net up. It's fascinating.
Do you have to give that back, or if you catch it up there, could you just, you know, keep it as a souvenir? I mean, they got like 50 footballs on the sideline.
I remember years ago, people would just pass it up and just throw it out the top of the stadium. So, like, no one person was responsible, but it was, you know, just a way to steal the other team's football, and they just...
Isn't that kind of dangerous? Like, somebody get pelted down below with a football that just drops 5 stories?
I'd say it probably hurt pretty good.
Yeah, maybe we shouldn't even have fans in the stands because might get hit with a football.
Just have a needle and just take the air out of it.
Cancel fans.
Stab it.
Yeah,
cancel fans. Probably going to happen
too
anyway.
Too dangerous.
Well, you know, the guy, I was thinking about this a minute ago. So the guy that caught back when the whole, you know, the home run challenge was going on with all the steroid guys, all three of them.
Yeah, McGuire.
So, Bonds. Wait, just Sosa, McGuire, or Bonds, too?
Just Sosa, McGuire, because I think McGuire broke it first, right? No, Sosa broke it first, and McGuire broke his, correct?
I don't remember.
Either way, it doesn't matter.
No, I think McGuire broke it. He broke Maris. He broke, and then Sosa did, too, but McGuire was ahead of him. Like, so well, he
was at him. So,
yeah, they both broke the old record, but McGuire had it until Bonds did.
Do you guys remember that? Like when that, because that guy that caught that baseball, right? That game, he brought that baseball back down to McGuire, and he gave it to him on the field after the game was over. And I always wondered, like, that ball was literally worth, at the time, now it's not, but at the time probably worth $1 million, $2 million, right?
Yeah.
So, why in the world do you bring that ball back down and give it to McGuire? And two, did he ever pay the guy, did McGuire ever pay him for bringing him that ball? Because the guy, you could see, was just trying to be like a good old boy, good gesture. Hey, man, this is important to you here. But, I mean, screw that. That's what I was thinking. I just always wondered what happened with that story. Was that guy rich, didn't need it, or was he just some random dude? I wonder if he regrets it now.
I wonder if they gave him, like, season tickets or something. Or a bunch of signed memorabilia. Maybe forever.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that'd be worth it. But, God, would you guys – I mean, what would you guys have done? I'd have curled up in the fetal position and – get carried out by the cops and sold that baseball that night.
A comic book artist bought the 70th home run ball for $3 million. You're talking about the 62nd one, right?
Yeah, the 62nd one. That was the one that was,
they just brought
down. Was probably worth more, technically, I would think. But I don't
know.
Yeah,
I mean, I would say if that one's worth $3 million, you're definitely in the at least
a
million or two.
And you walk down to the field and hand it to him to be because it's important to McGuire, which is a good gesture, but you're just handing the guy a guy that's a millionaire $4 million. I don't.
The guy's name is Tim Fernaris, and he said he wouldn't change a thing.
Oh my God!
He said being a part of that moment led to so many other things in my life. The thinking is that money always helps make things easier, but that's not always the case. With lottery winners, it often turns into disaster. So he just just gave it back to him for free. Didn't get anything. I'm reading the article now. Did not get a single thing.
I'll watch Millionaire Homes at night with that guy that takes people around by those. Those people don't seem pretty upset.
They look kind of happy, really.
How does McGuire not give him anything? Or did the guy just say, I don't want anything?
I think he just said, here you go. I mean, in the moment, I'm sure McGuire's just like, you know, deer in the headlights.
No, yeah. I mean, like later, like the next week, if I'm Mark McGuire, I feel like I'd, you know, give that guy something, at least like enough memorabilia. That usually that's what they do, right? They'll give you, you know, they'll like McGuire could send him like two signed bats, you know, some other sign. He'll get a ball that the whole team signs, and he'll sign a separate ball and send it to him. I don't know.
It's weird. Memorabilia. I never knew.
Yeah, I don't know. Memorabilia is.
Oh no, wait, I was wrong. He did get something.
What'd he get?
Chrysler gave him a red minivan.
No, oh, there you go.
And he got a watch.
Wow.
The Cardinals gave him a watch.
Congratulations.
Ball was worth over $1 million. He got a minivan.
I think I would have just tried to parlay it into, like, season tickets for life.
It's
like really
country.
Like, really good season tickets.
Well, you got to think that was, what, 15 years ago? So that's probably right when eBay was just rolling. Dude, I mean, you could put that thing up on eBay and sold it for, I mean, God knows what.
Well, Barry Bonds is sold for what, like $750,000?
Mm-hmm.
And that was after all the, you know, steroids and that wasn't even.
Foster and Brad have both tweeted that the guy worked as a grounds crew member for the Cardinals.
Yeah, because remember the 62nd one was that low shot that barely hit over the wall. So he was a grounds crew member?
So maybe that complicates things a little bit.
Oh, yeah,
because
he works,
But that's I didn't know that.
That's what made that one so weird. Because it didn't go into the stands. I remember watching that, and I was like, ooh, is that going to make it? And then it just barely gets over the fence but doesn't make it into the stands. So, yeah, I guess he's just down there working, walking around. Here comes the ball rolling. People are going crazy. Didn't somebody, like, jump over the fence to go get that or something?
Probably.
Yeah, I don't know.
See you guys.
See you, Matt. Thanks.
Now, he said as soon as it came off the bat, he could tell it was going to make it, but so he kind of ran over to that area. I don't know.
Didn't he almost miss first base? Or he did miss first base and had to go back and touch it? Because he was just going.
I don't remember.
I thought he missed first base, had to go back and tag it.
Mike Pantanis jumped over 20 feet and caught a football one time.
It's a great video. He jumps into the tunnel to catch the field goal in the air. That's just great awareness. Are we talking about the same thing?
Yeah.
The fan who
for Chicago.
What was okay? Yeah. He just.
I just like that story better. That's
a good catch. He probably broke both of his legs.
It kind of made his life because like he just goes on Chicago sports radio all the time and just talks about random stuff. And he's just like a giant fan, so it just made him happy to do that for just one random moment.
That's a good catch. Bad catch would be who was my guy with the earphones on for the Cubs?
Bartman.
Did you ever watch that?
Steve
Bartman, I think that's right. Did you ever watch that documentary?
No.
Or maybe the 30 for 30?
God, I need to rewatch it. I think
guy's life was ruined.
Do you remember watching that live? Did you watch that live?
Mm-hmm.
That was, yeah.
At first, I was like, oh, that was stupid. And then I didn't realize, I guess, at the time, how stupid. And then the next thing you know.
Didn't Chicago win another game after that?
No, they had another chance win, but they lost again, I thought.
Yeah,
I think that's right.
That was dark. That was creepy.
Who are they playing? Marlins?
Marlins.
Yeah, I was pulling for the Marlins, so I was loving it.
Good for you. You're pulling for the Marlins?
Yeah.
Big moment for you.
The Cubs, I didn't want to see them.
Yeah.
Finally
Brad Rose says it was a kid. He was a kid at the time on the ground screen?
I guess. I don't know.
Oh, they took advantage of a little kid? Oh,
could have been 18. You still refer to 18-year-olds as kids at a certain age.
College or something. Come on.
Yeah, college kid.
He's a public defender now.
This guy's just he's just a servant.
Yeah. He's a big-hearted guy who doesn't want money.
That was game six of the NLCS. Davey, Chicago was leading 3-0 and was up 3-2 in the series.
Sad.
And Moises Alou was trying to catch it. And that's Bartman who it was. Blocked him as he reached up to get it.
Was he going to make that catch?
I think so. But if you're Bartman, like, you're at a baseball game. Like, that's just what you do. I never blame him. I think it's different.
I blame the other fans around him for not having awareness to pull him back.
Seriously. But now I think people are more cognizant of like, oh yeah, maybe I shouldn't try to catch this one. But nothing like that had ever happened before. So I just put my hand up. Yeah.
First of all,
did he catch it or did he just get in the way?
No, he just got in the way.
Okay, that's like, what I thought. Trying to catch it, like he kind of bumped. Yeah.
First of all, it was the eighth inning with one out. They're leading 3-0. I'm sorry you didn't catch the second out of the eighth inning, but. You then gave up 8 runs in that same inning. Did Bartman give up all 8 runs? Like, does that one out?
Dude, it was
like,
the mojo.
I know. Baseball's weird.
I was about to say, if there's one sport where there's superstition, it's baseball.
But, come on, 8 runs?
They blamed a goat for 100 years.
I know. I'm just saying. That's kind of the ridiculousness of it.
Well, you probably won't have to worry about it this year. So
then they lost game 7, as you mentioned. They were up 3-2 in the series. They're up 3-2 in the series. 3-0
in
the game, one out in the eighth. Pop fly, foul. I mean, if Alou just like stands there and watches it go into the stands and goes, yeah, I couldn't have caught that one.
No one cares. Lost his mind.
He did.
He slammed his glove.
He threw a little temper tantrum.
And that's what I think set it off.
I'm going to have to watch that 30 for 30 again.
He panicked.
Bartman Catching just, hell is what it's called.
Yeah, it was good. It was really good. Didn't he change his name or something? Or had like a fake name?
Do you remember when the guy called in to SportsCenter? Well, I was watching it live. It was in the afternoon. I was in college. I was watching this live. This guy calls into SportsCenter. I think it was, I want to say it was Van Pelt, but I don't think it was. The host is like, well, I think we're going to roll with this. We've got some breaking news. Like, we have tracked down. And we have Steve Bartman on the phone.
I wasn't watching live, but I do remember that.
And he asked him, like, the first question. And Bartman starts, or this guy pretending to be Bartman, answers it like normally. He asks, like, the second question or something. And the guy eventually just, like, bite me or something. Like, hangs up on
him. So it wasn't him.
And the poor host was like,
Trust but verify.
I picture it as Scott Van Pelt, but I'm not sure it was him. But I just picture Scott Van Pelt going, obviously, that was not Steve Bartman, and we'll be back after this commercial break.
Tyler Wyatt sends in that the Cubs had a 95% chance of winning the game before that play with Bartman. Mm-hmm. Do you want to have an idea of what it went to after that play?
94%?
What do you mean?
No, I mean, it was a foul ball. 95.5%. It gets more. It's just another strike.
Well, it dropped from 95 to 94.8.
Okay.
Interesting.
I don't see how it's even possible. I mean, if he had two strikes on him and he fouls one off, like, who cares?
How many strikes were there?
I don't know. If it added a strike, wouldn't that make it more? Like, the numbers don't get to watch the play and go, God, he should have caught it.
Well, no, but I'm just saying, like, people want to go and berate the guy whenever it only dropped their win percentage by 0.2%.
Mojo. It was the mojo.
Dan Patrick was on
it was Center. Dan Patrick?
Yeah.
Holy moly. I remembered it being one of the big dogs.
Yeah, that was when I knew. That was when I knew he wasn't cut out.
I don't know, maybe it was evening.
That's surprising that it happened to Dan Patrick. He's like so...
I remember the guy just having like, obviously that was not...
Like, he killed a producer that day, right? Like, he probably...
Oh, the screener, yeah, the call screener.
Like, he went and found that person. Bartman, July 15th,
2020. Didn't he have, like, Walkman headphones in?
Yeah,
I think that was part of the...
Oh, yeah.
Kind of
maybe.
Unaware.
Yeah.
Like he's listening to Harry Carey call the game, probably, right?
I'll put a picture in the
thread.
There's
a fly ball. And an idiot.
I put a picture in the thread. I don't think he was going to catch it.
You don't think Lou was going to catch it?
No.
They just needed somebody to blame for their own.
It was the Cubs then, man. They were just waiting for it to fall apart. Lovable losers.
Mm.
It's like Butch. Like,
they were, yeah.
It was loser mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they found something they could latch onto, the fans just went crazy. And
it's like blaming Jancic for Butch Jones being a crappy coach because of that 1/4 and 13 or whatever.
Where is this video at? We need this dude to come out with that video.
Oh, man.
What is that, a hand cam?
Handheld, right?
Can you even
there.
Take those in anymore? There's the guy behind Bartman's reaching for it, too. He's a jerk.
It's not like Bartman reached that far. I mean, it's almost over the rail. It's almost in the fan territory.
Almost. That's like a rule now, right? You can't reach over at all?
What was the one where the kid reached over and just like gloved it right off the wall, and they just called it a home run, and the outfielder went berserk?
There was one, the guy had a net, like a handled net, and caught one. Guy was livid. I think they got rid of that after after that.
Yeah.
Baseball's
always been weird about that stuff.
Might be the longest baseball segment we've ever done.
Mm.
Again, controversy.
Good.
All we talk. Yeah. Controversy and fights, which I guess you might be able to put fights in the controversy section.
Yeah, I think
so.
Well, because we usually debate, like, why the fight started, should they have gotten in a fight, should the bench, you know. It's usually a debate about the unwritten rules of baseball. It's kind of my favorite part. We'll come back with more. Stick with us. It's hour two. Rolling along here on Fan Run Radio. Hour two continues right here on Fan Run Radio, Wednesday edition. Sources said that the NFL Players Association seeking opt-out clauses and conditional stipends they want opt-out clauses for at-risk players.
A little bit of breaking news.
Oh, really?
After having zero football players test positive in the first round of testing during June, Tennessee's post-July 4th testing has revealed that multiple student athletes across multiple sports, including football, have tested positive for COVID-19.
Imagine that. Send everybody back home. Come back. Positive.
What's the point of the bubble if you get to leave the bubble?
Any of them symptomatic? Any of them in the hospital?
I don't think so.
I'll look into the article. I doubt it, though.
Well, you know, there were two basketball players initially. I didn't know who it would be. I wasn't aware that the... You know, like, who wasn't back yet? Vescovi wasn't back yet. Plavsic wasn't back yet. Pons, I don't think, is back yet. So, it had to be, you know.
Apparently, a lot of football players didn't come back after July 4th.
I heard that.
Pons isn't
I didn't think
here?
So. Maybe he is.
I thought he did.
I
thought a month ago he did that little video with a saxophone in downtown Knoxville. Am I wrong?
Maybe. I don't know. They haven't listed like who's in and who's not yet. I haven't seen that anywhere for any sport. That was mid-June when the two basketball players tested positive. And then Tennessee chose to test following the holiday weekend. Several SEC schools chose not to test. But, yeah, this is probably not great news. Considering OTA start next... They start in late July?
I don't know.
Okay.
Can't you just allow those athletes to work out with each other, though? Like, wouldn't that be the thing to do?
You don't really want to bring them out.
Well, they can do what the Goff did. Like, once it's been enough days, even if they're testing positive, then they work out together. But they were sure those guys were not able to pass the disease anymore.
Right.
Yeah, but, just if you're looking at it from a liability standpoint, which... pretty much what we do.
Just do the Jimmy Johnson thing. Once they're negative test, and let them go back.
Yeah, just keep doing that. But I'm saying, they were to come in contact with equipment, and you then spread the virus to, we'll say the weights, even though based off the data that we have seen, it is not likely to be passed through, contact with metal and other surfaces. I don't know. They're just going to try to take as many precautions as possible, so even if they do test positive, until they test negative, they're not going to have them out there working out or practicing.
Jimmy Johnson was within a week, though. He was negative again.
Yeah.
So
I don't even think it was that long. Yeah.
Let's go to the phone lines and grab Jamie next. What's up, Jamie?
What's going on, gentlemen?
Morning, brother.
Guys, I know this was most of the last segment, but I wanted to give my take on the Bartman situation.
Yeah.
I can't believe him, but if I'm him, I just tell everybody that to F right off. We're in a court where we set it right up against the railing, and, if you don't want me reaching out for balls I can get to, don't let me set that close. Cording off the area right up against the railing. That's what we do. That's baseball. We reach for balls we can reach for. And, as far as other fans supposed to, supposedly trying to pull him back, they were all reaching for the ball too.
Yeah, look at the picture. Two guys behind him they're wanting to catch it too. Now, I guess you could make the point that they realize if they can catch it, Moses Alou can't, but
quite the scenario. Quite the souvenir. Mm-hmm. And I'm not. I would do it again. I tell everybody they can kiss my butt. It's not my fault. Baseball has it set up to where anything within arm's reach is fair game. You change the rules then. I can't believe he sat there. I can't believe, he sat there all, I'm sorry. I would just turn around and give the bird to hell with y'all, man. Y'all were going for the ball, too. And number two, the way the fans treated him, I'd be like,
they were pouring drinks on him. They were, cursing at him.
It's Chicago.
It's true.
Yeah, come on. It's whether or not you're 8 runs ahead or 8 runs behind or whatever, it's the game 7 of the World Series or spring practice, I'm going for the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Self-preservation
at that point.
Yeah, you don't stop when the ball's in the air and be like, wait a minute, let me go over the scenario here. Maybe I shouldn't, no, the ball's in the air, I can reach it, I'm getting it. If baseball doesn't like it or fans don't like it, change the rules, make it to where I cannot get out that. It's kind of like every other sport in the world, golf, tennis, football, basketball. You're put in a position where you cannot interfere with the game. In football, I can't get out there. I can't stop a pass going from a quarterback to receiver. In basketball, I can't swat away a shot. Every time I hear that brought up, I'm always like, I can't believe more people are like, the hell with all y'all. Doing this.
Especially, Matt had called in about the home run ball. If you're a Cubs fan, you're up 3-0 in the eighth. You're about to go to the World Series. This is going to be a ball from the clinching game of the league championship series. Dude, I've got it still shot right here. I pulled it up on YouTube and paused it. There's a dude in a gray shirt that if Bartman doesn't hit the ball, this guy would have hit the ball. They didn't even reach out into the field. They just reached up from their seat, which is right over the rail where Alou, like Alou jumped into the crowd as much as they reached onto the field. This wasn't like the kid who leaned over the fence with a glove and caught the ball 4 feet below the top of the wall that turned into a home run. I mean, it's I'm with you, Jamie.
Yeah, and it's like you said, name me anybody who ain't reaching for that ball. Come on, everybody wants to act like they're so self-righteous. Like, I can't believe you. Yeah, name me somebody who wouldn't reach. Come on. But, hey, guys, another subject, and I'll get out of the way. I think that college football, you know, we are in unprecedented times. So I think the best thing to do is say, hey, look, we're going to wait until the last possible second before we cancel anything. I mean, and if we have to wait up until, you know, right before the first kickoff and say, all right, that's it, then that's it. It's kind of like with that lightning delay, you know, 10 years ago for the first kickoff of the game. You know, sure, everybody practiced, you know, sure, there was a fall practice before that. You know, everybody was there at the game. The tickets were bought. The teams were there. They had to call it for lightning. I guess I think it was Virginia Tech and somebody. I think you don't call off anything until the last second because there's so much riding on the line. There's a lot of universities that a lot of their, you know, their sports, they rely on football to happen. So I just think, you know, keep safety in mind, but don't jump the gun. We just found out yesterday, Florida's been lying about their numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you also hear, I don't know how credible this is, but I'm hearing more than one story on Twitter and Facebook, you know, the first time, maybe the second time, you can kind of, but I'm hearing where guys are like, I've never tested for it, and I've been told I'm positive.
Yep.
You know, people are like, I went to go get tested, I stayed in line, I couldn't do it, I had to get to work, and I got a call back saying I tested positive. You know, I don't know. It's just, the information is too murky right now.
Yep.
I think saying, making any decision right now, whether for or against college football happening is ridiculous. It's like the Pac-12, the Big Ten saying we're just going to play conference games. It's like, well, what if we come out to my, plus there's news yesterday late in the evening about a possible vaccine. What if all this is taken care of come September 1st and you've already, you know, canceled everything? For what? But, you know, I maybe I'm skewed. I want college football, but I try to look at it through you know, fair glasses, looking at it through both, you know, being safe and also for what I want. So I just think at the end of the day, you wait until the last possible minute. Even if it does cost you some money, you know, as far as going ahead, planning for football, and then if you have to cancel it, sure, you're out a few bucks. But I think there's so much on the line. You don't call it until you absolutely have to. I appreciate y'all letting me in. Y'all have a good one.
Thanks for the call, Jamie. Yeah, I mean, we said that from the get-go. I don't understand. They canceled a baseball tournament in 2021 already? Like,
The World Baseball Classic.
And they canceled it like 2 or 3 months ago. Like, what? Okay. I guess you just didn't want to. I think when people do that, they just didn't want to do it anyway. Like, that, it's just somebody who didn't want to do it. So they're like, hey, COVID.
Well, yeah. Well, the British. No, it was Wimbledon, right? They got like.
Insurance money.
Yeah, huge insurance bank. If you can do it.
Well, baseball, I guess, finally got their ducks in a row. The whole thing's going to now turn to the NFL with the players and the league having to figure out kind of their how they bargain over coronavirus. The players, through their union, have requested these things. An opt-out clause for at-risk players to receive salary but not bonuses if they decide not to play. An opt-out clause for players with at-risk families to earn an accrued season and benefits if they decide not to play. An opt-out clause for players who leave the team after reporting. That says terms uncertain. So I guess like if they report and then decide not to play, I don't know if cases or if they change their mind, whatever. Then it says a $250,000 stipend guaranteed to all players if they show up to camp and everything is shut down because of COVID-19 concerns. That amount rises to $500,000 if the season starts, only to be shut down. And then the definition of at-risk is part of the discussion, and procedures for applying for medical opt-outs are not yet finalized. If the player is serving a suspension and the season gets canceled, they want the games unserved to not carry over to the next season. I mean, that kind of makes sense. In the league's June 7th memo, it listed the following as considerations for high-risk individuals. If you're African-American, Hispanic, or Pacific Islander. If you have a BMI greater than or equal to 28. If you have sleep apnea, hypertension, altered immunity, diabetes, or cardiac disease.
Lyme disease did not make the cut again.
According to ESPN's Dan Graziano, players also want no salary in escrow for 2020 and no reduction in the 2021 salary cap, despite projected revenue loss, which they'd prefer to spread over multiple years. The league's initial ask to place 35% of this year's salaries in escrow is considered a non-starter. Says the two sides, NFL and NFLPA, have been talking the last couple days. They're not expected to talk today. So, players want testing every day and no preseason games, while the league wants testing less frequently, like every other day, and two preseason games.
Okay.
So, there you go.
Did anyone say where Austin Price came out and said that sources tell us that most, if not all, are no symptoms to low grade?
No.
Kind of figured that. I was going to read that probably next segment, but yeah, I thought that was good news.
Did the Eagles announce they're going to have no fans already?
Yeah, Eagles and Phillies. City officials say no fans all season.
Like, okay. It's kind of like what Matt, I mean, what Jamie said, though. Like,
why not wait?
Like that? Yeah, I don't. What do I know? We'll come back. Final segment, hour number two. Stick with us right here on Fan Run Radio. Myles Garrett's about to get paid.
Who said crime doesn't pay?
$125 million.
What did Clowney want, Davey?
He wanted $20 million a year. And that was his initial asking price.
This is even more than that.
Paul Kuharsky actually came out, would have been last Wednesday, so a week ago, he talked with General Manager John Robinson, and they have been able to get Clowney to get into the facilities at Nashville to give him a physical to see how he has recovered from his core muscle surgery during the offseason, but that looks like that is why there has not been a deal between those two parties thus far.
If Myles Garrett gets this deal, he'll be the highest paid non-quarterback in the league.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I mean, right now it's Khalil Mack, $23.5 million a year. Aaron Donald.
Was he that good last year?
I don't know. He had 10 sacks in 10 games. It's pretty good. Sack a game.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the position that should be paid the most after quarterback.
No, we always say that.
Sacking the quarterback.
Yep. You got to have a good quarterback, and you got to have somebody who can make quarterbacks nervous. I guess I just didn't remember him being that impactful.
He's fourth in sacks per game since 2017. So, yeah, he's been good.
2017 he had 7, 2018 he had 13.5, and then last year he had 10, but if you remember, did not play a lot of the second half of the season.
Yeah, 10, just 10 in 10 games. The opposing quarterback's QBR drops by more than 20 points when he's on the field compared to when he's off.
Pretty good data.
Mm-hmm.
Forced six fumbles in his career so far.
I mean, see a lot of people right now are freaking out about the positive test for Tennessee.
Naturally.
Really?
Yeah. People are, I guess this is maybe finally making it real. I expected this.
Well, yeah. I mean,
I'm not surprised, and I'm not more nervous today than I was.
We said it when we locked down here. I know I said it. I won't speak for everybody. I said, there's no way this is the right decision to lock down now, because if lockdowns are the way to get through this, We need to save that strategy for later when we actually have coronavirus. And so,
well, no, I read the
now's that time. Like, if you're pro lockdown, like, this is when we should do it, but now no one wants to do it. You screwed yourself by pushing for it when it didn't make any sense.
Who was it that said, was it the CDC guy? He said if everybody will wear a mask, we'll have this virus stamped out in a month or two.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what?
No, it makes no sense. Makes no sense. Especially when New York's like, yeah, 80% of the people have been in their house with people that they're...
Well, that was the other one. Turn your AC off.
Well, no, this was... I'm talking about previously when Cuomo was like, I was shocked. 80% of people haven't been going out that tested positive for coronavirus.
AC. It'll kill you.
There was another study, though, that said... It was John Hopkins said population density is not a driving factor. I was like, okay. So the New York numbers really just were long-term care facilities. Like, that's why their numbers are crazy. Which we know is true.
It just feels like every time we get a piece of information, it changes.
That's also
true. It's probably the most frustrating thing about it. No one knows. But I just found that, like, wear a mask for 2 months and it's gone. I don't think that's the way it works.
No, that's what really... the causality really bought... Like, Holly Rowe tweeted something yesterday. Somebody sent me, like, everybody wear a mask so we get college football.
Again?
I was like, even if that increases our chances, or even if that decreases the virus on some level, which that's best case scenario. Best case scenario, everybody wearing a mask decreases the virus some immeasurable amount.
Mm.
That still in no way means you're going to get college football. Like, you're lying to people. You are just straight up lying.
Who's worse, that person or the... sports reporters and sports people like celebrating the fact that you won't get college football? Like, they're just basically trying to dunk on you. Like,
Dan Wolkin.
Yeah, and Darren Revelle. They've been the worst. I think that's worse.
I do too.
I mean, the Holly Rose of the world are basically calling you an idiot. And the other people are like the Revelles and the Wolkin are saying, you're an idiot, ha ha ha, now you won't get what you want. Holly Rose at least pulling for you to get what you want. And
true.
And she's using a false narrative to try and drive you to the behavior she wants you to do. But, you know, I mean, it's like a Vol for Lifer saying, you got to support Butch Jones, because if you don't support him, there's no way he'll be good.
Mm.
But if you do support him, he still might suck. But if you don't support him, there's, you know what I mean? It's like a false narrative. It's like, no, I can just wait and see whether he's good or not and then decide. That's fine. Like, if he's good, he'll be good. Like, they think they have too much power, I guess. It's kind of a fake power thing. But that's what the SEC did. Everybody wear your mask so we get football. It's like, I mean, it might help.
And I think that's why they're like, hey, it might help.
But they don't sell it that way.
I understand.
Like, cause and effect.
I understand.
I mean, that's what the CDC guy said, which the CDC before COVID said the opposite. And that's where you can prove that people are lying to you, is when you just find their hypocrisies. People are really freaked out by the cases. Tennessee had 1,514 yesterday. That was down from the 3,314 the day before, which was the highest ever. 1,514 is probably like a top 10 to 15 day all time. It's the highest since June 26th for sure, June 29th. I mean, I'm less scared of it now because I know people that have gotten it now that were fine. Back when it was, God, everybody that gets it in New York's dying. To me, that was scarier.
Yeah.
Now it's like, oh, yeah. My parents had it. They're 60. They were fine. Oh, yeah. My friend had it. They said it was less, you know, wasn't as bad. Or even my other friend had it, said it was, they felt like crap, that it really took a lot out of them, but now they're better. Like, the more stories I get like that, the better I feel, you know, fair or unfair. And we've talked about it over and over and over. You sitting around worrying about it, it's not going to help. In fact, there was an article saying people worrying about the coronavirus makes it worse when they actually get it because they're so stressed out.
Like, you've already convinced yourself that it's a death sentence, so then you get it and
freak, you're stressed. or you're more likely to even get it because you're so stressed. Mm-hmm. I mean, deaths in Tennessee are still pretty flat. I mean, they're a little more than April, just glancing at the distribution, but I mean, not much. I don't know. I feel like it's been completely overplayed. And I don't think somebody called in and asked Clay Travis this morning. Okay, Clay, if this has all kind of been a false narrative and been pushed, like who's the man? Like who is
Oz?
Right.
Yeah.
Who's pulling the strings and why? And I'm not a big conspiracy theorist person, especially if like a whole bunch of people have to all behave the same way and can't tell anybody something. I think it's just a phenomenon with the fact that fear and what's the word? Not exaggeration, but the extreme headlines sell the best, right?
Mm-hmm.
In any case. I mean, we know that from the sports world. The more extreme your headline, the more likely people are to click on your article. So in this case, more extreme is always going to be that this thing's something we've never seen before. This thing's worse than anything we've ever seen. That's always was going to be the extreme. There's no way to get clicks and get... There's no way to drive revenue with, hey, this thing's not so bad. That just never will work. There was only one direction you could take this. With a lot of topics, you can polarize them both directions. And so we at least get kind of... with this, to polarize it the opposite direction was to call it a hoax.
Mm.
So once it was proven that it was real, which was pretty much immediately, the only way to push it was to the extreme, you know, like, oh, it's the worst thing ever. It's the plague. You're going to die. So, I mean, I think it's a – and I blame the media on some of it, but also blame us individually. It's just humanity. It's more – fun's not the right word, but it's more intoxicating to talk
about – stimulating.
Stimulating. That's the word. It's more stimulating to talk about the rareness of it to even early on. And that just it snowballed into this thing where no one has been able to correct that. Well, I won't say no one. A lot of people I talk to are – I was talking to a guy yesterday. It's like I feel like we're in the middle, but the people in the middle don't have a voice because it's not extreme. Like no one wants to talk about how, yeah, it's a new virus. Yeah, some people died. Yeah, some people got sick. Yeah, some people didn't get sick. That's boring. Doesn't rate. Doesn't rate. And if it doesn't rate, no one wants to talk about it. Whether it's CNN or, you know, your aunt on Facebook. Like, if it doesn't rate, no one wants to post it or read it.
Mm-hmm.
So people have pushed the narrative that rates, and that one's, I don't know, extreme.
You right back there? Okay, just making sure.
They on?
Yeah, you did.
I didn't have my headphones in, so I couldn't hear it.
Mm-hmm. Mic was on.
You hate to
say it. Welcome back, Billy.
I think I heard some cracks. You popped back?
Yeah.
Yep. Just.
We should have an all-time mashup of just weird sounds Davey's made on the mic. Just all-time.
I should do a better job of saving them.
Yeah.
It's on you.
Probably like 24 minutes.
I would just just really. You're a funny sound guy.
He's just adding color to the program. Yeah, it's his job.
Sometimes the sounds are not good. That one time he got a frog in his throat and it was like.
Or that one time he threw up drinking the smoothie.
Yeah, that was good though. I mean, the sound was bad, but it was funny. It was a funny sound.
Hey, SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey told OutKick the coverage that the SEC doesn't release positive test numbers for schools, but since athletes got back on campus, the positive tests have declined substantially to single digits and are approaching zero across the conference.
Unless you're today.
Tennessee. Yeah. I like that's true everywhere except Tennessee.
Well, of course they were going to go down when the students are all together or quarantined if they have it.
Yeah.
And But then, of course, 4th of July weekend. And I get it, man. Like, I'm not saying, oh, lock them in the bubble. Can't. I'm just saying this was expected. I expected Tennessee to have cases on the football team when they first reported. Somehow, miraculously, they did not. I said it then. I'll say it now. I'm not going to be Dan Patrick and accuse Jeremy Pruitt and the staff of lying. It was unbelievable that there was not a positive test. 85 people, not one positive test except the GA. Basketball, half the team returned, and two of them had it. But now, I mean, with two or however many it is, obviously they weren't lying, right? You don't lie up front and then, we got busted.
Yeah.
Give them some positive tests. If they lied then, they'd be lying now.
What if the opposites happened, though? Like, what if they had a batch of tests that were just all going to be negative no matter who took it?
It's possible.
I mean, I think that's more likely than none of the kids having it.
Mm-hmm. Well, they did antibody tests, too. I don't know if those are back yet. Because in that report, it was, 45,000 on testing and then another 20,000 or so on the antibody test. So hopefully we'll get that information. Of course, again, like Davey said, could be an antibody for a different coronavirus, or this could be positives for a different coronavirus. Like, there's just no perfect answer here.
Don't be scared. That's the answer. Just
be smart. Don't be scared.
Yeah. Just live. Worry about other things.
Just live. Worry about other things. That's good. That's good.
I mean, once you take whatever precautions you take, like, then quit thinking about it.
Yeah.
And you'll be better. You'll be better mentally. I don't know. There was this fascinating book my wife was listening to about, it's like medical and a bunch of statistics and stuff, and they found this like town, I'll probably butcher the whole thing. I think it was in Italy somewhere, and this is like a long time ago. But like all these people were like super healthy. Like they were living longer, they were just like, this one area was just like, what is going on? So they start looking for the variable, or like what do they eat, what do they drink, what do they do, like are they more at... And, like, they could not find any variable that was causing these people to live longer, be healthier, like they were the whole nine yards. And they basically, the ultimate conclusion was that they're so isolated from the rest, like, and in this one town, their culture is just so stress-free because everything's just so symbiotic that these people are just incredibly healthy.
They're happy and healthy.
Yeah, because they're happy. It's amazing. It's amazing what the mind can do. We'll come back, kick off hour three as we wish you, stress-free days.
Health and happiness.
Yeah. One more hour to go right here on 3 and Out.